Worship First podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
If you would bow your heads with me for a word of prayer, we go to the throne. God, it is yet again your servant, coming just to say thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for a day we've never seen before, a day we'll never see again, God. Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise you enough. And so just right now, God, I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing for us, that you've already done, and that you're going to do, God. Regardless what is happening around us, God, we are still blessed, God. We love you for dying on the cross to save a sinner like me, God. We thank you, God, for your love and your mercy, God. We thank you for your grace, God. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus. And so, Lord, right now we come lifting up the sick and the shut in all over the world, God. You made us. You know us name by name and one by one, God. You know what we stand in the need of. And so right now, God, I ask that you will bless according to your riches and glory. Lord, I lift up those in the nursing homes. I lift up those in the hospitals. I lift up those who are on the street corners. I lift up the homeless, Lord Jesus. I lift up those who are bound behind prison bars. God, heal and deliver, God. And we know that you are the only one who can do it, God. I pray for those families, God, who are struggling because of this COVID-19. But God, I know you to be a healer, Lord. I know for you to be a provider, Lord. And so, God, we lift them up right now to you, God. We ask right now, God, that you will continue to go into all of our homes, God. Continue to bless us, Jesus. God, then I ask for a special blessing upon every church door that stands open in your name. Rather, if the doors are physically open or those who are having to worship from home, God, I ask that you will bless each and every one of us, God. We thank you for this opportunity to continue to serve and praise your holy name. God, we pray for this church. We ask that you will bless every member in their homes. We ask that you will bless their families, God. I lift up our pastor, God. I ask that you will continue to crown her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, God. Continue to bless her, God, as she continues to minister to your people. God, I ask for a special blessing upon our government. Have mercy upon them, God, as they make the decisions for our country. I ask that you will give them wisdom and knowledge from on high, God, because we know that you are still in control, God. Lord, I ask for a special blessing upon my family. God, that you will continue to heal my dad's body. God, we've already claimed it, and we thank you right now for it. And then, God, I ask for a special blessing upon the bereaved families all over the land. You know them name by name, one by one. And so we ask for strength. We ask for peace for those families, Lord God. Then, God, as I close this prayer, I ask, God, that you will continue to bless me. Continue to give me strength. Continue to give me wisdom and knowledge from on high, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I love you. I bless your holy name, God. And God, when all these things are done, we ask for a home, a place in thy home where we can continue to serve thee forevermore. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all the saints say, amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online. Or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas, 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Oh, You know the way.
The Bible says, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Hear these words from Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us what they had seen, a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Would you pray with me? Living God, you who are the bread of life, would you feed us now with your living word? Would you speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Bless this word for your people. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. It is in the name of Jesus the Christ we pray. Amen. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. But what happens when we who are his own don't recognize the voice of Christ? What happens when those of us who are walking with him don't even recognize him walking alongside us at work in the world? That's the situation we encounter in Luke, the 24th chapter. Two disciples are headed toward Emmaus when Jesus joins them on their journey. Two disciples. Only one of them has a name that we are given. And so that means that the unnamed disciple could be any one of us. It could be you. It could be me. Just imagine you and I walking along toward Emmaus, you and your BFF. Just imagine the Sunday school teacher and the lay leader, two disciples. the homeless person you saw this week, and your CEO walking toward Emmaus when Jesus joins them on their journey. And the Bible says that they were kept from recognizing him. I wonder, what are the things that keep us from recognizing the risen Christ today? Last week, we talked about the spiritual masks that we wear that prevent the breath and the blessing of Christ from blowing freely in our lives. And this week, the question is, what are our spiritual blinders? What keeps us from seeing clearly as Christ walks with us and talks with us? I know that some of us are blinded by our busyness. We don't slow down enough to notice God at work. It reminds me of when we drive through a construction site and there's someone out there waving a flag, so we slow down, or the state has posted a change in the speed limit so that you slow down while people are working. And yet day after day, we don't slow down. We don't interrupt our routines to make room for the divine. Some of us are blinded today by our beliefs. God calls us beloved, and we call ourselves something else. We allow other people to call us other things. God says that he's no respecter of persons. What he did for one, he'll do for another. And yet somehow we believe that we're excluded from the promises of God, maybe because of unfaithfulness in the past or unfaithfulness in the present. God says, I will do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ever ask, think, or imagine. And yet we don't even trust ourselves to dream or imagine anymore. What's blinding you? Is it your busyness? Is it your beliefs? Is it something else? What's stopping you from seeing your life as a construction zone where the risen Christ is hard at work? The good news is, even if we don't recognize Christ, Christ recognizes us and always finds a way to join us on the journey. The text says he walked right up and said, "What y'all talking about?" Now we know that he already knew what they were talking about. We know that he could have told them everything about themselves, just like he told that woman at the well. But instead, he says, "What's up?" I pray that you can feel Jesus joining you as you walk this day. I pray that you can hear his gentle, "What's up?" Because the reality is, the Lord wants to hear from us, wants to hear our point of view, wants us to walk with him and talk with him and tell him what's on our hearts, what's in our minds. And so they break it down. They tell him, "Man, we have had the craziest weekend. Our teacher was set up, betrayed, and the chief priest got him." And you know Jesus loves a good story, so I can hear Jesus sort of encouraging them. What you mean, got him? They got him, the disciples said. They took him, and we thought maybe they were just going to ask a few questions like they sometimes did at the temple, but they didn't let him go. They crucified him. And since we know the teacher liked to test the disciples, I can hear Jesus saying, "Now, come on, only thieves and murderers get crucified. What your teacher do? What kind of teacher did you have?" And the disciples tell him in verse 19, "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." Let's just rest right there for a moment. A prophet is a multifaceted job. Your primary responsibility is to speak the word of God from God for God's people. And the prophet also, in addition to representing God to the people, the prophet represents the people to God. You'll remember when Moses was leading the children of Israel out, when he was receiving the commandments, the law from God, There came a time when God got frustrated and God said, you know what? I don't have anything else to say to your people. And Moses had to remind God, these are your people. These are your children, your chosen, your beloved. That's the work of the prophet, to stand in the gap, to intercede for the people. That's the kind of prophet Moses was. That's the kind of prophet Jesus was. Jesus as prophet was a proclaimer of some of the most uncomfortable words the people had ever heard. Teaching that turned their way of life upside down. Words like the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. They had been taught honor father and mother, and he came saying things like, leave your father and mother, leave brother and sister to follow me. Because if anyone wants to save their life, they'll lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will gain it. He came saying things like, the one who is greatest of all will be servant of all. He was a prophet in word and deed, they said. Indeed, he talked the talk. He walked the walk. Indeed, he did what he asked them to do. He was humble and kind and encouraging and inclusive. He washed feet. He touched and healed diseased bodies. He forgave. He came not to be served, but to serve. And that's why they said he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And so the chief priest killed him, these two disciples told their walking partner. And now it's been 3 days. They probably remember Jesus saying that you can destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. But now it's been 3 days and we had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel. We had hope. They are telling the risen Christ that they have lost hope in him. Friends, have you ever been staring right at a blessing and rejected it? Rejected it because you didn't recognize it. Have you ever been looking at your opportunity, that connection you needed, that breakthrough you were waiting for? Had you ever watched Christ make a way out of no way and have no idea what you were looking at, unable to recognize it? We had hoped, they said, right in the face of their hope. The truth is, they are not the only ones to lose hope. Some of us have been waiting for a blessing, a breakthrough. Some of us have been waiting for miracles that we can no longer allow our mouths to speak. Some of us have been waiting for grief to relax its grip on our lives, waiting for the weight of sin and shame to finally slip from our shoulders. Some of us, it's been 3 days and we're waiting for the things in our life that feel dead to be resurrected. And now on the third day, we are losing hope. The good news is Christ hurries to the hopeless. Christ hurries to the hopeless. He runs right up alongside us and asks, what are you discussing? What are these things you're saying to yourself? What's going on? And if we could just be honest, then the great prophet could proclaim a word of restoration, could speak a word of hope over our lives. But if we don't tell the truth about our doubts like Thomas, if we don't tell the truth about our hopes and our fears like these disciples, then we don't open the door for Christ to speak. I wonder what dream, what hope you have forgotten about. I wonder what used to inspire you. I wonder what you stopped praying for because it just seems too far-fetched for you. That is the thing that Christ wants to hear about as he walks with us and talks with us and tells us we are his own. When they told the truth about the pain they were feeling, when they told the truth about their frustration and their their hopelessness, Christ began to speak. And the text tells us in verse 26 that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in the scripture about him. And it's a good thing they were walking 7 miles because he couldn't break all that down in a 1 hour Bible study. He reminded them that the prophets told him that the Messiah would be a descendant of Abraham and David. The Messiah would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem and called out of Egypt. The Messiah would be rejected and yet still the cornerstone of the church. He taught them that the long expected one would heal, would be a willing sacrifice, and despite all that, would be betrayed, pierced, wounded for us, crushed for us, resurrected for us. He reminded them that the prophet said he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He reminded them that this Messiah would be the author and finisher of their faith, the foundation of a new covenant. He told them everything about himself, and they still couldn't see him as the lily of the valley, as the bright and morning star. They didn't recognize him as the lion of the tribe of Judah standing right there to fight their battles. They still didn't recognize him as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords, as the Lamb of God who was slain for the sins of the world. So when they reached their destination and Christ had said all he could to help them recognize him, they prepared to go in and he prepared to go on. And maybe he thought, you know, I'll just catch up with them tomorrow and see if they get it then. Because the good news is we have a God who pursues us. A God who, like the songwriter says, your love never gives up, never runs out on me. A God who, like the psalmist says, his goodness and his mercy follows us all the days of our life, follows us. Some translations say, chase us down, running up on us in the midst of our trials, going through when we're going through, walking alongside us when we're hurting and when we're just about to lose hope, asking us, what's up? And yet, even the God who pursues us wants to know if we will pursue God. So Jesus walked on as if he was going a little farther, and the disciples pursued him because it was late in the evening. They invited him in. Friends, if we want to truly know the power of Christ, want to know relationship with Christ, we have to invite him in. And the truth is, it's getting late. It's getting late for some of us. Some of us who have been semi-saints and almost followers, just a little too lukewarm. It's getting late. And it's time to invite him in. And when the disciples invited him in, he did what he'd always done so many times before. He revealed his true nature at the table. Because when he shared the table at a wedding in Cana, he revealed that he was a miracle worker. When he shared the table on a hillside one day with more than 5,000 people, he revealed that he can satisfy all our hungers with a little sack lunch. When he shared the table in a tax collector's home, he revealed that salvation, forgiveness would be available to all. And when he shared the table in his last meal with the disciples, in that upper room, he revealed that if we want to be like him, we have to behave like him. We have to serve like him. And so at this table in Emmaus, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them. They weren't in a temple. They weren't in the holy city of Jerusalem. They were in a home, just like us, encountering the Holy One. Christ told the enemy when he was being tempted that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Friends, it wasn't just the bread that opened their eyes to Christ. It was the living word. It was the scripture that he had fed them as they walked along step by step. And when we truly digest the living word, when we truly eat of the bread of life, our lives will never be the same. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed us until our lives overflow with the glory of God. Overflow is inevitable because recognition leads to revelation, and that leads to proclamation. Verse 32, the disciples said, "Were not our hearts burning in us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Didn't we feel something different as he walked with us and talked with us and told us we were his own? Didn't we recognize the power of God as we learned the word of God?" Their recognition led to revelation, led to proclamation, because they got up that night and went back to tell the other disciples. Now, don't forget, it was a 7-mile walk. That means they walked 14 miles in a day to bear witness to the resurrected one. And some of us won't drive 14 miles. We won't drive 14 minutes. But this story isn't about us. Or is it? What does it take for us to recognize the living word? When we do see signs of the resurrection, when we do recognize the living Christ walking with us, what do we do? Who do we tell? Because someone who feels alone today needs to know that he walks with you and he talks with you and he tells you that you are his own. Someone is waiting to hear your witness because it's their third day and they're about to lose hope. Some unnamed disciple needs you to walk with them today, knowing that where two or three are gathered, Christ has promised to be in the midst, discipling us step by step, feeding us the bread of life step by step, revealing his power, reminding us of his promises step by step. Let's take a walk today with the resurrected one. Let's do our best as disciples to stay in step with our Lord and Savior, who walks with us, who talks with us, who tells us that we are his own. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.